And I want to go back just to the scripture in Colossians 2:8, just review a couple of things with you and move forward. Paul said this, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." He's basically saying is this world has a lens, and worldly people have a lens, and religious people have a lens. But you and I, as a child of God, have to have a different kind of lens. We're not going to be held captive by some false lens or philosophy. And the lens refers to your focus, your philosophy, your perspective, and how you interpret the world around you. And how many have figured out that as Christians, we're very different from the world that's around us. And the key is to not let those influences come into your heart, into your life, into your thinking, into your home, into your church. And God help us to be everything He wants us to be. Amen. Things like intellectualism, where you elevate human intellect over spiritual truth. Things like emotionalism, where you emphasize experiences and feeling and make that the highest authority in your life. Even among Christians, that's a danger. Things like universalism, believing that since Christ died, everybody's automatically saved. No, people have to respond to that act of grace and repent and turn to Him in faith. Things like secessionism, where people will tell you that the supernatural miracles are gone. They just were there to prove His divinity, but they've ceased in the earth today. And I want to announce to you today, they've not ceased today. People were healed today. Amen. Who did that? The Lord Jesus Christ is still in the healing business. He's still in the miracle-working business. Things like deconstructionism, where people begin to question and reject their religious training in truth, and it's often associated and started by some hurt or disappointment in their life. You know, everybody, we're never too old to get hurt, but we are old enough in the Lord to stop letting hurt control us. Amen. Can I have a better amen than that?
Amen.
Sectarianism, the belief that only your group, your church, your people are right or even going to heaven. Isolationism, where you withdraw from community and accountability. Hedonism, where you pursue pleasure over spiritual truth and morality. Materialism, the attempt to fulfill a spiritual need with something physical. Socialism, man's attempt to meet the needs they have without God. Calvinism, man does not have free moral agency. God only saves those He wills. Thank God, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to watch this thinking coming into your life. And I didn't speak much about this last week, but consumerism, where the church experience is supposed to be tailored to individual wants and needs and fads and fashions. No, these things are dangerous. And you and I need to evaluate our hearts on a regular basis to make sure these things are not invading our consciousness and our thinking, because they are lenses that do not produce the kind of believer God wants in you and me. In fact, what happens when you yield to these lenses, you become the kind of Christian with the wrong lens, and you end up behaving and conducting yourself in a way that is not consistent with Scripture. It's not productive, and it does not advance the church. Now, some of these will be kind of, commonsensical to you, but I just want to point out to you that these kinds of believers are not advancing the gospel, they're actually inhibiting the gospel. And it all started with somebody messing with their lens, somebody messing with their philosophy. So the first group of people are what I call church shoppers. These folks go around from place to place. They got a list in their hand. They want this, and they want this, and they want this, and they want this. But when you look at the Word of God, you find out in 1 Corinthians 12:18, that God sets the members where He wants them. You don't go with a list to find a church. It's nice that they have everything you want, but can I tell you something? Every church is imperfect. Why, Pastor Art, is it imperfect? Because you came here. It was imperfect before you got here, and it'd be imperfect long after you're here, glory to God. So when you function like that, you have bought into what is an Americanized gospel. You're supposed to be where God tells you to go. And if God tells you to go somewhere, you don't leave until God says you're supposed to leave. Because you're not a shopper, can have an amen. God sets us where we're supposed to be. Not just preachers. Some preachers have this same problem. Every 2 or 3 years, they go somewhere else. Well, the problem is, if you don't stick around, you'll never learn the lessons of ministry. You just have to repeat the cycle all over again. And there are Christians that live the same way. You got to find out where God wants you to be. Throw your shopping list away. Amen. And oh, by the way, if you show up at a church and it's not on your shopping list, how about you make it happen? There's an idea. But that's completely opposite to the way we function. The Amazonization of the American church. The Walmartization of the church. No. You go where you're supposed to go. I was telling my staff this week when I was called to Westview Assembly of God with my wife Kelly and Tim. Tim came around a little later. But it was an interesting place. There are 31 people voted for us to pastor that church. 30 voted yes, one voted no, and they think she didn't understand the question. And week two, everybody say week two after we accepted the ministry there, I'm standing on the platform. Y'all remember we used to sit on thrones and on the platform? Some people still do. And I'm sitting there, and the bass player's playing one way, the piano player's playing in one time signature, the worship leader's got a hanky, and he's got in a different time signature. And it was the most horrible church music I'd ever heard in my entire life. I'm supposed to preach after this happens. You can say they did not have the music department on my shopping list. It was bad. And the bass player was not plugged into the sound system. He was in his own system. So he could play it as loud as he wanted to. I'm telling you, he would crack the walls with his boom, boom, boom. And I'm literally sitting there on the platform after 2 weeks of being there saying, God, you got to get me out of here. Where I say, shoppers. Looking for a blue light special. That's what I was looking for, bless God. Later that night, I get a call from a man named Nicky Morrison. He ran a music shop in Clarksville, and he played like Jerry Lee Lewis and Jimmy Swaggart and Mickey Gilley and that kind of a style, and he loved God. And he said, you know, Pastor, I was sitting in my bathtub, and the Lord spoke to me. Go up there and help that boy. And so he did. And it was on, amen? The Lord has a way of taking care of you, but you can't have a shopping mentality. What you have to have is a lordship mentality. And you what? You don't go by basically how you view your shopping list. Say, I refuse to be a shopper. But it's not just the shoppers that are a result of a wrong lens. It's the hoppers are the result of a wrong lens. They're at this church, they're at that church, they're at this church, they're at that church, they're up, they're down, they're in, they're out. And I know they're transitions. God transitioned us from Hopkinsville to here. But there are people in the body of Christ, they transition, you know, regularly, yearly, every couple of years. You know, something's going on, they transition again. You need to make sure that you're only transitioning in the will of God. And He does lead, He does guide us. But the hoppers are just all over the place. They hip, they hop, they like hip hop, amen. They just are hopping around. And all that does is cause instability in their lives, their family members, churches all over the country. Rick Warren announces, the great pastor from Saddleback Church, he announced this just a few years ago, there's not been a single county in the United States with net church growth. Think about that. All you have are the hoppers. Hopping here and hopping there. Now listen. It is a problem because it just flies in the face of lordship, and this is not maturity. I read the Bible, I pray, I fast. If you're a hopper, you're not a mature Christian. I'm going to go over here. I don't like your response to that. If you're a hopper, you're not a mature Christian. At some point in time, you need to have your frog legs cut off and stick where you're at. Amen. There's a gentleman that was here for a while with his family, and oh my goodness, he was a tremendous husband and a wonderful father to his kids and so many positive things. But every 6 months to a year, he's pulling his family out of a church, literally gone to every church in this county that I know of and then some outside the county. And the Lord, like, what do you want me to do about that? Well, the Lord wanted me to deal with it. I'm like, give this assignment to somebody else. I don't want this. So he's in my office telling me about his hopping plans again. And I said, you're a terrific husband, provider, a hardworking man. Your kids love you. You would do anything for you. You are a wonderful, wonderful father. You've taught so many great things. And I'm going to get into what God wanted me to say. He said, but you have taught your kids one thing incorrectly. You've never taught your kids how to go into a church, be planted, established, and be faithful. You've never taught your kids that. He looked at me like I had three heads. Got in his truck, started to pull out, and who behold meets him at the exit, Bill Barger. Has no knowledge of the conversation we just had, and verbatim tells him the same thing within a half hour. Now, when God in his mercy is dealing with your hopping mentality, yes, with that weakness in your life, how many know that was a divine appointment for that individual? It didn't stop there. It didn't stop at the next place. As far as I know, still a hopping around, just a hopping, hopping, hopping. You know, when you're hopping around, you got to pull up your roots. And the more times you pull up your roots, the less likely you're going to be able to bear any kind of fruit at all. Look at somebody and tell them, careful, your roots are showing. Say, I'm not a shopper and I'm not a hopper. Come on, smile at somebody and say, my hopping days are over. I'm where I need to be. I'm growing. I'm thriving. And some folks want to hop because, you know, they get the little feelings hurt or they get offended. Amen. Or something I say rubs them the wrong way. Well, that's not news. That's a spiritual gift. A mature Christian ought to be able to take challenging messages to our mindset, to our behavior, and not get upset and flee every time. Because if you take that baggage with you the second or third church, guess what? It's still there. And have you noticed the Holy Ghost is not locked in a church? He can find you. You hoppeth here, you hoppeth there. The Holy Ghost can go there. It's best just to sit down and let the Lord deal with things he's been trying to deal with you about for years. Not trying to hurt you, harm you. He's trying to take you to the next level. Come on, say it. My shopping days are over. My hopping days are over. Come on, say it. I'm not going to hop. I'm not going to shop. Say it. I'm not a shopper. I'm not a hopper. This is what happens when your lens begins to be disconnected from what the truth is of the Word of God. God is interested in growing you up and maturing you. Amen. Say it. I am no longer a shopper. I'm no longer a hopper. Shout it. I've been delivered. From hopping. Amen. But with that lens, it's not just the shopper and the hopper. There's the flopper. We like these two. Now, they're physically here. They literally just show up at church and they just flop. They're not a servant. They're not a giving. Half the time, they're not even smiling. They're just a flopping. They just flop right there in the church. And they have a favorite song, I shall not be moved. And they don't understand that it's not just being physically here. The lights are on, but nobody is home. You're here for a reason. Now, when you have the wrong mentality and lens, you don't see yourself as being an active part of that. There's a reason why folks have a hard time being established in any kind of local church. There are glues that will cause them to be sustained and be integrated. One is small groups. Another one is some kind of a ministry team. But if you don't do anything, you don't intercede, you don't pray, you're not involved, it's hard for you to be connected. It's hard for you to stay around in an environment where you have no relationships. You're just a flopper. And some folks come in, they're a flopper. They come from a long line of floppers. Mama was a flopper. Grandpa was a flopper. They're a flopper. Mom and dad, all the brothers and sisters are floppers. Here, flopper. There, flopper. Everywhere, flopper, flopper. And it's a habit they've gotten into. I'm going to come over here, but I'm going to sit down. We had this precious couple. He was an engineer at TVA, and they're all excited about what God was doing. And then we started talking about service and the reality and the importance of being a servant unto God. And apparently they didn't like that. They saw Kelly one day at her other church, Walmart. Cheap shot right there. What's that? Everybody's like, Walmart three times. And, hey, she said, we've been missing you. We love you. You guys are awesome. What's the deal? Well, you teach on service, and you expect everybody to serve in some role in the church. I vaguely remember some scripture. Jesus came to serve and not be served, and to give his life a what?
Ransom.
A ransom for many. What I'm showing you is the wrong lens will cause you to be the wrong kind of believer. Yes, everybody should be doing something in the kingdom of God. Has he not done great things for us?
Yes,
I said, has he not been good to us?
Yes.
How can we just be a flopper when he went to the cross for you and for me?
Yes.
Come on, shout it out. My flopping days are over. Come on, say it. My flopping days. My flopping days are over. Come in and get up. Get involved. Serve. Give. Praise. Amen. It's so important. Did you imagine making a decision about a local church because the expectations are high? Should we not be walking in high expectations?
Yes.
Didn't God not give us the very best in Jesus?
Yes,
come on, let's confess this. My flopping days.
Say,
my flopping days.
My flopping days.
Are over.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, it's not just the shoppers. It's not just the hoppers. It's not, oh dear. Are you concerned about something over here? It's not just the floppers, it's the droppers. I've said this for years. Cancel culture didn't start in the world. It started in the church. And people in the church are experts at ghosting. They're there, and all of a sudden, they're just gone. Poof. Like Casper. Amen. And you wonder, how in the world can somebody be apart and then get this lens all messed up, and then all of a sudden, they just drop. They just disappear. Not a word, not an unction, not a direction. Just gone. Now, if you conducted yourself like that, you can repent. You can come back to the land of the living.
Yes.
It's not only dishonorable to God to leadership. Think about this. You fellowship with some church for 4, 5, 8, 10 years, and you disappear. What does that say about what you think about those people? Amen. Is it all right if God just grows you all up a little bit more in 2025?
Yes.
Yes. We had a member years ago, thinking about withdrawing. Have you talked to the pastor? Oh, no, can't do that. And this person said, I have no respect for somebody who wouldn't talk to the pastor before withdrawing. That's pretty good counsel.
Yeah.
Except that person then did the very same thing. And then the person they counseled just did the very same thing. So I'm telling you that this mentality of dropping, it's 2025. He's getting ready to return. He's coming back. What we do, we need to do quickly, glory to God. Be plugged in to do what God has assigned us to do. But this is a habit some folks have, and there are all kinds of excuses as to why people do this. Say it with me. I refuse to be a shopper or a hopper or a flopper or a dropper. Glory to God. Ghosts, your friends, ghosts, your church, ghosts, your leadership, ghosts, the people, and that's godly. Are you here? Are you here today? You know, even the world, somebody works at Culver's or Burger King will give their management notice. How does Burger King deserve more honor and respect? When I was in seminary, Kelly worked at a Burger King. She came home every night smelling like a Whopper. How can Burger King deserve more honor than the local church? Amen. Come on, make your confession. Said, I refuse to be a shopper, a hopper, a flopper, or a dropper. Glory to God. But then there's this last one. I had a lot more than this. Then there's the chopper. This is the antagonist. This is the one that's negative. They get their panties all in a wad about something. And they're constantly negative, and they're constantly saying this and that. You know, they're going to get sour about this and sour about that. You and I should focus on everything that's great about our wives, our husbands, our family, our kids, our church. Amen. Our nation. Are you here today? Yes. We need to be positive people, thanking God for what we have. But the chopper begins to be a damager to that particular fellowship. And you say, what's the choice weapon? The mouth is the choice weapon. Amen. And somewhere along the line, you adopted a lens that let you think this was somehow, you know, appropriate behavior for a child of God. And it is not. Amen. How many glad you don't go out and get drunk? Amen. How many gave up weed long a time ago? Amen. How many know it's only right to sleep with the person you're married to? Amen. Can I have a better amen? Amen. Do you know the Bible condemns slander and gossip and you into a misuse of the mouth too? There are a lot of non-beer drinking, non-beer guzzling, non-drug using, non-sexually immoral people that aren't going to make it into the gates because their mouth is too big.
Amen. That's
right. This lady came up to my pastor in Savannah one time, Georgia, and she said, Pastor, I want to put my tongue on the altar. And he said, do you think it's long enough? The altar's not big enough for that tongue. He was a character. He's with Jesus now. And we went down there, and they had a snowfall. They're getting ready to get a snowfall again. It's been years. But they're getting ready to get a snowfall. And we're coming home for Christmas. We're going to go home for Christmas. And it was my job to put the little signs up. Y'all remember those letters you used to have? Not the digital boards we have now, but by hand you stick them up there. And that was part of what I was supposed to do on that staff. And so that's what I did. And I got the letters out, and I put my saying up there right before we got, you know, I think we flew that year too, right before we left, and I'm putting letters up there. Thank God Mary kept her unplanned pregnancy. Exclamation point. Let me give you help here. We'll go back to the sign in just a minute. When we interviewed there, the pastor said, he's interviewing me. Now, we don't believe in mixed bathing here. What do you believe about mixed bathing? I said, I take a bath all by myself. I didn't know what he was talking about. He's talking about girls and gals going swimming together. But I'm like, bless God, I'm from Illinois. I don't know what you're talking about. I bathe alone. Been doing that since I was a little kid. Except for the stupid pictures Mom took of all three of us in a bubble bath together that we can't get out of our heads ever. We were fine after 5 or 6 years of counseling, but you know. But since then, I've had my own bath, my own shower. So when he saw the sign, it's literally falling in heavy clumps of snow. He's out there changing the sign in the middle of the storm. Amen. He was a character. Say it. I am not a chopper. And if you've got, you tend that way, everybody's had bad days, repent of it. Move on with God. Amen. But you know, in the history of church, some folks just can't learn to be productive, edifying parts of the body. So one of, you know, my brothers in the faith, and I consider him a father in the faith, Dr. Barclay, Mark Barclay, he said that he was in the office of his pastor, John Osteen, at the time, and he poured into his life quite a bit. And one of his assistants called and said, "Brother Osteen, that couple, so-and-so, is coming down the sidewalk. You want me to send them in?" He said, "No, I'm going to go out there and meet them on the sidewalk, and I'm going to talk to them there." And Doc Barclay's like, "I'll just stay here." And he goes, "Oh, no, I want you to see this." So he goes out with him. And when the couple got halfway down the sidewalk, Brother Osteen said, gave him a hug and a kiss. He said, now I'm no longer your pastor. This is no longer your church. Run away, little lamb. Run away." And they're just stunned because all they have done is try to rip Lakewood Church up the whole time they had been there. And he had had enough. And he was like, "That's it." So he goes, "Turn away, going back." And so they turned around and walked, you know, back towards the car. And then they looked back. He said, "Don't look back, don't look back. I'm no longer your pastor. This is not your church. Run along, little lamb." I've had a few of those. But I've never told him, "Run along, little lamb." I'm saving it for a special occasion. But even this day is like, wow, you know, Mark Barker's like, you should have been there. It was crazy. Amen. What was he doing? He was protecting the fold from the chopper. Amen. And this is the day to stop our shopping, amen, and our hopping and our flopping, amen, and our dropping and our chopping, and start being what God has called us to be. Amen. Because, you know, personally, we don't want you to run along, little lamb. We just want you to stop biting the pastor's hand.
That's it. Good word.
Good word. I made a mistake of saying that sheep don't bite, and say, "Oh, yeah, they do." And one pastor told me, "My sheep do." I don't know what kind of sheep you got, but my sheep do. Look at somebody and say, "My sheep do."
My sheep do.
Amen. God has wonderful things for you, your family, your ministry, your church. But sometimes that lens causes us to see things in a really inaccurate way. And it's time to make that course correction if you have to. Amen. So what you do, you say, I wasn't offended by who I am now. Make your mind up that you're going to be what God's called you to be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Offense and anger and recrimination and bitterness, that's easy. Walking in love, that's difficult. Amen. And you know, a lot of folks come into church and go, "You know, I just can't believe they're church folk. They're hypocrites there." You know, there are people doing this and doing that and saying this. I can't believe there are people like that in church. Where are they supposed to be? And who's the hypocrite? You used to go to Walmart and they're filled with hypocrites. Hypocrites in their pajamas. That's even worse. Uh-huh. Are you kidding me? Put some clothes on. Kelly had this pantsuit, looked like pajamas, but it wasn't. It's really not that way. She goes, "Can I wear this, the Dollar General?" I said, "You'll fit right in." She didn't like that either, did she? I'm going to come back over here. Amen. Hypocrites. What do you expect? Back up and remind yourself you're dealing with human beings here who haven't arrived. We're all under grace and we all need His mercy. Amen. And if you've been drifting towards a shopper mentality, hopper, flopper, you've been contemplating being a dropper, or you've been tempted to be a chopper, just realize that's because your lens, amen, has been altered. And that's fixable. A lot of Christians who begin to act on these kinds of things, they don't stop to think, am I thinking things clearly? Am I seeing things the way I'm supposed to? Listen to what Paul said about this. He said, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no, listen to this, you will take no other view. You will put on no other lens. Amen? So stand to your feet today. Lift a hand to the Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, my Father. Worthy are you, Lord. You know, just like you go to an optometrist or ophthalmologist, sometimes you need corrective procedures and lenses. Make that your prayer this year as we dive deeper into this, looking at the individual facets of what constitutes the correct lens. You know, before we can do that, we really have to think about, are there scales on our eyes? Are there things that are just so obstructive that we're never going to see correctly? Let the Lord do a new thing on the inside of you. Let Him minister to you. Now, Lord, the villain, just say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I realize I have not arrived. And I also realize the people I worship with, the people I live with, the people I work with, they haven't arrived either. We all need mercy. We need mercy in our lives daily. That's not based on what we deserve. It's based on what you decreed and what you purchased. Lord, I repent for thinking church is all about me and my shopping list. Lord, I repent for being flaky in the past. I refuse to be flaky in the future. I am no longer a shopper or a hopper. But Lord, I also believe every Christian should be engaged, praying, serving, giving, reaching out. I haven't been called to come to church and flop. That's been my mentality. Search me, Holy Ghost. If I've been retired in my mind, if I've been thinking I've done my part, Lord, I repent of that. I am a minister through life until rapture. Until death, I am called to be an active part. So I repent of that. Lord, I repent for ghosting other Christians, ghosting church bodies, ghosting church leaders, ghosting people that I don't agree with. Father, I repent of that. I can have more honor and more respect than that for what you paid for with your own blood. I refuse to be a dropper. And I thank you today, in Jesus' name. I don't tear the church up. I don't hurt the body of Christ, the local body here, or the church anywhere. In Jesus' name, I'm not interested in chopping things up, dicing things up, hurting things. I'm interested in building things. I'm interested in the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I repent for any thought, any attitude, any word that was deconstructive. Lord, that did something negative to your people anywhere in this world. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for fresh starts. I say this boldly, Heavenly Father, here am I. I'm here to serve you and do your will. I repent of my sin. Come into my heart, afresh and anew. I'm yours to command. Do in me what you want to do. I have decided shopping and hopping and flopping and dropping and chopping are not for me. Faithfulness, integrity, honor, consistency, That's for me.
That's for me.
In Jesus' name. Come on, give him a big hand clap and thank him.